The hallway was dimly lit and small. Pictures hung on the walls, but they were not of Sophie or her friends. They were impersonal paintings of flowers and landscapes, the kind you would see in a hotel. That was weird. I knew Sophie well enough to know she loved to look at herself. I lifted a frame and noticed a receipt taped to the back. What the fuck? She'd purchased it today? I lowered the picture and continued down the hall. I passed a small end table with an assortment of knickknacks on top. There were three doors off this hallway, two of which were closed. The third, at the very end, was ajar, and shadows danced within the dimly lit room.
I told you she would come.
Sophie's voice stopped me in my tracks. I pressed against the wall and crept closer.
If she brought the world ender with her, he won't come.
I peeked inside and saw Sophie standing next to a large armoire, her hands clasped before her as she pleaded with someone in the mirror. The mirror held no reflection, only a dark, murky shimmer. I couldn't see or make out who she was speaking to, but I could feel his energy filling the room. It had to be one of Caden's men.
Listen, I can still bring her in.
Let's hope.
The mirror flashed before returning to normal.
Well,
once a traitor, always a traitor. Sophie jumped and spun. She met my gaze as she pressed against the dressers behind her. I saw her arms move and I shook my head. You have nothing here that will kill me. You know that, right?
You don't understand.
What don't I understand? The creepy creature you were talking to in the mirror? Or that you're not as excommunicated as I thought? Or maybe Caden has been lying to me about a lot of things. How much did he offer you for my head?
Why does it matter? You would do the same.
She lifted her hand, and the door behind me slammed shut. I looked over my shoulder, knowing the sound would alert Liam. When I turned back, Sophie stood with a small crossbow cradled in her hands.
The plan was perfect. Nim texted me everything. I'll take you back to Caden. Once he's done with you, I'll be back in the coven, and Nim will get a seat next to Caden.
Before I had time to react, she pulled the trigger. Instead of one single arrow flying at me, several small, needle-like projectiles raced through the air. They hit me square in the chest, knocking me onto my back. I propped myself up on my elbows as my canines descended. I was going to rip her to shreds. She stood at my feet, a smile nearly splitting her face. This won't kill me, you dumbass. She placed a hand on her hip, lowering the crossbow.
No fucking duh. But that coffee you drink at Nim's had a little extra something in it. I'm sure you've been feeling the effects. The arrows carry the same poison. I think I'm going to like being rich. And I can't wait to be back in the coven. I will rule alongside Caden as Anya burns.
The strength seeped from my arms, and I collapsed back on the floor. Poison? They had poisoned me! Nim had double-crossed me! I looked down at the needles sticking out of my chest and tried to reach for them, but my arm was too heavy, and my hand dropped to my side before I could touch them. My throat started to ache as darkness played at the edges of my vision.
Trust me, that's not a seat you want.
Says the one who has all the power. You wouldn't understand. You've always been Caden's favorite.
She pressed her foot against the needles, forcing them deeper into my body. I gritted my teeth, fighting against the pain.
Now, I'm gonna hide you in the closet and go downstairs to distract the world ender until my backup arrives.
A wave of nauseating dizziness washed over me, and I knew I wouldn't be conscious much longer. Sophie leaned down, looking at me with a smug smile as she waved.
Night-night, bitch.
Then the door exploded with a loud boom, the ground shaking as shards of wood erupted into the room. Sophie's eyes went wide, and she lifted the crossbow, aiming it above me. She had no time to pull the trigger before an invisible force sent her flying. Liam stepped over me as the room flickered in and out of focus. A whoosh sliced through the air, followed by a solid thud. The world went black, but a tug and a sharp, piercing pain in my chest pulled me back to reality. I wavered in and out of consciousness, Liam's irritation a familiar comfort in a sea of agony.
Infuriating, disobedient, aggravating woman.
As the last needle left my chest, I felt like I was floating. I was cradled against a hard, warm surface, my arms and legs hanging limply. My eyesight grew blurry, the effects of the poison taking over. The last thing I saw was Sophie's head near the foot of her bed, her dead eyes unmoving and staring.
Bounty on your head.
Let me go.
Never.
Caden wants his bitch back.
A seat next to Caden.
My eyes refused to open, even as I lurched into a sitting position. I felt someone holding me, hands gripping the back of my neck. As my body tried to slump, strong arms propped me up. Something warm washed over my lips and the side of my face before I was gently laid back down. Everything hurt, and even with my eyes closed, the world was spinning. A thick, sweet liquid filled my throat. And a pleasant coolness took away the pain as I drifted off once more. There was no more stomach ache, no more dizziness. Just darkness seeping in and encompassing me once more. My eyes popped open and I froze. I'm dead. I fucking know it. A huge golden door flanked by massive twin torches stood before me. The flames flickered and danced much higher than any I had ever seen. Ancient carvings were etched into the surface of the door, depicting a battle I was not familiar with. Through that door must be the final judgment before I was sent to Iasulin. I looked down and saw I still wore the white tank, dark jeans, and heels. I pulled at my shirt and peeked at my chest, but saw no trace of Sophie's attack. Weird. Well, if I was dead, at least I would be comfortable and fashionable while I haunted people. Wait, what about Gabby? I turned, trying to find a way out. I needed to get back to Gabby. She would be alone and definitely angry if I died. What if Liam didn't uphold his part of the bargain because we hadn't found the book? I stopped, distracted by the carvings on the walls. They matched the door, and there were so many scenes. Some were depictions of battles, while others were of people doing everyday tasks. Torches lined the hall as far as I could see, long crimson silk curtains blowing in the wind. The area was dark, except for the dim flicker of the flames. Hello? Anyone home? Do I request a final judgment, or are we all just aware I shouldn't be here? The joke is on me, I get it now! Come out! To my surprise, no one answered. You would think a big place like this would be crawling with people. Frustrated, I was about to yell obscenities to see if that got a reaction, when I heard footsteps approaching from down the hall. It sounded like just one person, and they were coming in fast. Okay, well, great job, Diana. Probably pissed off an ancient beast. I retreated, looking for a place to hide. Whoever or whatever was coming was in a hurry. I kept moving backward, afraid to turn my back, my hands searching for the wall behind me. I took one last step and blinked. When I opened my eyes, a wall with deep carvings took up my vision. Did I just walk through a wall? What is happening? I spun, and my breath caught as I took in the expansive room. I took one step and then another, my shoes not echoing on the shiny stone floor. The absence of sound was deafening. I stopped in the middle of the room to take it all in, my gaze catching first on the golden columns standing tall in the corners. Sheer fabric hung from the massive carved windows and danced as if blown by a soft current of air. I tipped my head back and spun in a small circle, gaping at the night sky. Oh shit. I definitely was not on the mortal plane anymore. The galaxy I saw through the half-missing roof was made of stars and planets that did not belong to my world. They lit up the cold sky, the colors ranging from reds to purples and a mix of blues. Meteors streaked through the empty spaces as the nebulae spun. It was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. No painting or image could compare. I realized I was not in some fancy mausoleum, but in someone's bedroom. What prick would have a room with an open ceiling showcasing the freaking galaxy? There was more rustling, and I crept toward the sound. A four-poster bed emerged from the darkness, fabric draped around the spiraling spires at each corner. My eyes locked on the couple, and I stopped, afraid to make my presence known. I watched as soft feminine legs were thrown over thick masculine shoulders, her ankles linking behind his head. He thrust into her, eliciting a chorus of screams and groans in both feminine and masculine tones. Desire flared and coiled in me as I watched that powerful body slam into hers.
Samkil!
The heat pooling at my core was extinguished as if someone had dumped a bucket of cold water on me. I should have noticed sooner, given the glowing silver tattoos marking his entire body, but I had never seen him naked. I knew this scene would forever be burned into my memories. The realization came with a pang of disappointment.
Fucking Liam! Please don't stop!
I have died, and this is my punishment.
This is worse than Iasulin.
I threw my hands up and looked away from the erotic thrust of his hips. I didn't know how I had ended up in Liam's memories. It was impossible unless... I paused as the realization of what was happening hit me. I was in a fucking blood dream! My hands went to my face, covering my eyes as I shook my head.
No, no, no!
I dropped my hands, looking at my palm where I had cut it. A small, thin scar ran parallel to the lines, and I knew Liam had one to match after that stupid blood deal. But if that were the case, I would have dreamed sooner, especially since I'd napped on the convoy. Unless he'd fed me? My chest tightened. Had I been so close to death that he'd been afraid I would die? Had he fed me to keep me alive?
You idiot!
I kicked the bed where he and whoever this mystery woman was were currently switching positions.
Why would you do that?
It was a drawback of being what I was. If I drank too much or ate somebody, fragments of their memories would bleed into mine. I couldn't control the blood dreams, and I hated the images and emotions that came with them. That, among other reasons, was why I tried not to consume blood. Fortunately, the dreams rarely lasted long, and with the sounds coming from the bed, I was pretty sure they would finish soon. I looked around, wondering why the memory was important to him. I got that he was a guy, but typically the memories I saw in blood dreams had affected the being profoundly. Usually, what I saw were acts or feelings of such emotional impact that they had become a part of what made the individual who they were. Maybe it was because of this mystery woman? Was she a long-lost love, a fling, or maybe an ex-wife? Liam didn't carry the mark of the ritual of Dasheen on his hands, just those silver rings, so I knew he wasn't mated. I felt my chest tighten at the thought of Liam being bound. But before I could process the emotion, the large doors behind me burst open and a tall man strode into the room. I knew this man. His long braided hair was decorated with bright jewels. I had become accustomed to the blue lines that ran along his arms and neck to pool like indigo flames in his eyes. Every member of the hand had that same shine. Logan wore what reminded me of a mix between a tunic and battle armor, one side of his chest exposed.
Samkil! My apologies, but your father fast approaches.
Logan strode straight through me as if I were a ghost. He tossed the sheer curtains around the bed aside as the woman gasped, surprised by the intrusion. I tore my gaze away from Liam as Logan's words sank in. Liam's father was headed this way. I knew I was in a blood dream, but the thought of seeing him filled me with unease. Caden had told us stories about how powerful and cruel the gods were. One touch could turn a being into dust, and their anger could make the very stars tremble. Their weapons carried more power than the sun, and they were more than happy to turn them on us.
You were supposed to distract him, Nefer.
So, Nefer was Logan's real name. Liam climbed off the bed, wrapping a sheet around his hips, but not before Logan and I got a good look at all his assets. Why was I not surprised that he wasn't lacking in that department either? Why couldn't it be small and not practically a third leg? I studied him openly, deciding that I would take the opportunity to look my fill. He was gorgeous after all. The Liam of the blood dream was different. He wasn't the Liam I knew. He seemed happier and less irritable, but still with that cocky attitude. The Liam of Rashiram was younger and unbroken, with an aura that reeked of arrogance. Unlike when I'd first met him, only a dark stubble shadowed the perfect line of Liam's jaw, with no sign of that ghastly beard he arrived with. His dark hair lay in heavy waves on his massive shoulders. Health, youth and vitality emanated from him. His eyes burned molten mercury, and every time he moved, the silvery glow seemed to gild his skin. It was as if his power were looking for a way out. I understood now why I could sense him anytime he was in my vicinity. He wasn't just powerful, he was power. Liam took a step toward Logan, but his gaze was focused on the door.
How long before he arrives?
Maybe it was because I hadn't had sex in a month, but Liam naked was a work of fucking art. I would never tell him, but seeing him even half naked made my mouth water, my nipples tighten, and my core clench. I couldn't deny my physical responses to him, but it changed nothing. He was still a prick.
I did as much as I could. I even got the nymphs to play a little song.
Liam patted his friend on the shoulder as he strode past him to the table.
I missed another coronation. So it is without question he will be ill-tempered.
Another coronation, Sam Keel?
The soft light gilded the woman's pale skin, and she nearly glowed with feminine beauty. Her gorgeous long blonde hair swayed over her shoulders as she moved, the curls that fell forward barely concealing the soft swell of her breasts. I had witnessed their wild play, but not one shiny strand was out of place. You gotta be kidding me! Is everyone here perfect? It only got worse when she turned and walked with elegant grace to a chair, picking up a long embroidered dress. Her every move was poetry in motion, the soft light streaming through the broken ceiling, caressing her lean feminine curves. The glowing lines of color that traced her delicate form matched Logan's. I was surprised that she was a celestial, because she was everything a goddess should be, stunning from head to toe.
Hello, Imogen. Looking ravishing as always.
No more ravishing for me, thanks. Sam Keel has taken care of that aplenty.
Oh, I'm sure he has.
Liam's eyes filled with smug male satisfaction. He finished his drink before giving Imogen a devastating smile.
Do you blame me?
Oh, gods. I was going to be sick if I had to watch Liam flirt. Before I had a chance to find a way out or force myself to wake up, the air in the room shifted. Logan and Imogen straightened, and Liam's expression turned sullen. I felt the power coming our way even in the blood dream and fought the urge to flee. I heard what sounded like a small army approaching as Logan went to stand by Imogen. The door opened and several guards entered. They spread out, standing against the walls in pockets of shadows. A man, much taller than Liam, but built almost identically, strolled in. His hair was nearly the same length as Liam's, but instead of falling in waves, it was coiled in a mass of long, thick curls that draped down his back. A few strands were twisted with golden bands that shone against the starlight spilling in. The shine of the encrusted jewels was a beautiful contrast to his rich brown skin. A dark beard lined his jaw, adding to its strength instead of concealing it. I now knew where Liam received his devastating good looks. He gripped a long gold spear in his right hand, the shaft glowing and a golden light pulsing near the bladed tip. The staff was engraved with what I recognized as the language of the gods, the same runic letters etched deep into his battle armor. They circled the three-headed lion on his breastplate and pulsed gold on every metal piece he wore, including the skirt that met the tops of his leather boots. The power he emanated reminded me of Liam's, except his seemed to take up the entire room. Even in the dream, with my senses dulled, I could feel it. It was as if I had opened the door to be greeted by the sun. I backed away, feeling the hairs on my arms rise. The Igmaruthan in me whipped and coiled, sensing danger and clawing to escape. My every instinct knew he was a threat, and I knew who he was. The god Unir. Imogen and Logan knelt, their heads bowing as he entered.
Father.
Where were you?
If you are here, you need not ask.
He took one look around the room, motioning for Logan and Imogen to stand.
Leave us.
Imogen looked once more at Liam before a vibrant blue light encased the two of them. My gaze followed them as they shot through the open ceiling and into the sky. My heart twisted as I remembered how Zekiel had done the same in his death.
That means all of you.
The room shook, the power inside of him roiling. I backed up, my instincts screaming at me to run as the entire room threatened to explode. Liam didn't even flinch, unfazed by his father's display of anger. The guards quickly dispersed, closing the door behind them. Unir took a seat, leaning the staff against the wall. He stretched his legs out in front of him and propped his elbow on the arm of the chair. He rubbed the bridge of his nose, and I smiled, having seen Liam do the same many times. It was obvious where he had picked up the habit.
Would you like some, Father?
No.
Now I knew where Liam had gotten that from, too. Unir's eyes were still closed, as if the god had a headache.
You drive me mad, my son. A simple task is what I ask of you, and you still cannot complete that.
I hardly see how it is of major importance, Father. It was a coronation service for Celestials who survived a battle a mere child could have won.
It is of great importance that their king shows his face. Instead, you hide it between a woman's thighs.
To be fair, I'd accomplished that task well before the coronation began.
Samkil?
We keep training our warriors for a threat that may never come.
It is better to be prepared for war than for war to come, and you are not.
I am prepared. Just like the rest of the Celestials. I form the Hand, and they train day in and day out. Besides, we have you and the other gods. No one would dare invade Rhaeshirim.
Do you hear yourself? When you speak, your words drip with pride, self-righteousness, and arrogance.
Unir's eyes flash with irritation, and I had to agree with his dad on that one.
Perhaps, or perhaps I just do not see the importance.
You do not see? How could you? All you see are your own selfish desires, the many lovers, the liquor, the gatherings you attend with your friends. They are not your friends. We did not make them for that purpose. Their purpose is to serve, obey, and fight when we war.
Normal people backed down when someone that massive and full of power advanced or raised their voice, but not Liam. He didn't move as he watched his father.
You speak to me as if I am not your son. I know the ancient laws. You've made me eat them, forcing them down my throat on a daily basis since I was an infant, and I know of my friends. They are sentient beings, and they feel just as I do. If they are given a purpose they believe in, they will follow. Why do you think they left the other gods? It is because I do not see them as objects to control.
Unir ran his hand over his face and nodded.
The other gods see this. They see it and fear a rebellion within our ranks.
A rebellion? From who?
You. The weapon of oblivion you carry. You have ended worlds, and now you gather their soldiers to fight for you. Thoughts of an uprising tease their minds.
Weapon of oblivion? What did that mean?
I would never. I do not even wish to lead. That is your dream, not mine. I was born into this and had no choice.
Unir tilted his head back as if he was truly exhausted.
There must always be one ruler. You know this. Otherwise, the realms would tear themselves apart. There has to be one constant. One king who puts their own selfish desires aside for the greater good. A god must not be selfish. That is the utmost law.
Liam sat on the steps that led to the dais where his massive bed rested. He ran his thumb along the rim of the golden chalice he still held.
But why does it have to be me? Give it to Nismera. She is next in line.
She was, until your birth. Now the crown falls to you. You are my only child.
Unir met Liam's gaze. Emotion, nearly violent in its intensity, flashed across his face.
I will bear no more.
Why?
You know why.
Because of what happened to Mama. You are afraid of what could happen to another.
No.
Unir looked away as a hint of sadness danced across his features.
I loved your mother, and I will never love another. You know our relationship was secret at first. Eventually, the truth came out, and I had to defend that which I held dear.
Like you do with me.
Similar, yes. The gods do not like sharing their gifts, even if the ones before us and the ones before them handed them down. So, yes, I understand why you care for your friends. You see them for what they are, not what they were made for, the same way I did with her. It is truly a gift, Samkil. I do not wish you to lose that, but they will never accept it. Wars have been fought over simpler things than a title. My visions have gotten worse recently. I see worlds burning, realms ripped apart, and battles in which far too many die. So yes, I fear war.
Liam nodded as he glanced up.
Very well. What shall you have me do now, Father?
First, clean up this mess, get dressed, and let us try to salvage some part of this day. Meet me in the main hall.
Unir picked up the golden staff and strode toward the door.
Why did you not bring her back?
Unir froze and bowed his head, but did not turn around.
You could. It is one of your gifts.
When she passed, I would have pulled the entire universe apart to bring her back, but I knew it was wrong. Resurrection, no matter the circumstances, is forbidden. You do not gain something so precious as a life without paying a hefty price. There are some things that even we cannot afford.
He opened the doors. The guards waiting outside stood at attention. Without looking back, he quietly closed the doors behind him. I watched as Liam stared after his father. He had lost his mother. I could relate to that pain more than I like to admit. He hung his head, letting the cup he held fall from his hands. It rolled down the steps and spun in a slow circle on the floor. A part of me felt sorry for him, while another remembered the predator beneath that pleasantly taut skin. He was the world-ender in every sense of the word. It was like I was seeing the real him, not the short-tempered, rude asshole I had come to know. What else had happened to him to cause such a drastic change? I stepped toward him, not sure what I was going to do. Before I could find out, the room swayed and started to dissolve. Cool, soft sheets wrapped around my torso as I turned over, nestling further into the warm bed. Wait, why was I in bed? My eyes popped open, but I slammed them closed just as quickly. I draped my arm over my face, the light in the room blinding. I lifted my lashes carefully, squinting as I took in the room. There was a large window to my right. The thick, cream-colored curtains hung to the floor but were pulled back, allowing sunlight to spill into the room in golden beams. I stretched my arm out, my fingertips barely reaching the edge of the massive bed. The overfilled comforter slipped down as I propped myself up on my elbows. This place wasn't nearly as elegant or vibrant as the Reshiram I had seen in the dream. So where was I?
You are awake. About time.
I jumped and rolled. I grasped the comforter, pulling it around myself and glaring at the large man lounging in the chair on the other side of the room. My anger turned to confusion when I saw the books, papers, and laptop on the small table in front of him. He wore beige jeans and a white sweater with the sleeves pushed up to his elbows. His biceps flexed as he crossed his arms and glared at me. He was angry. Well, at least that was normal.
Where are we?
How are you feeling?
Are you ignoring my question by asking me another question?
I narrowed my eyes and struggled to my feet. My legs threatened to give out, and I gripped the edge of the bed, holding tight to the comforter. I swayed and felt Liam's hands grip my shoulders, steadying me. I hadn't even seen him move, but there he was in front of me, holding me at arm's length.
Your question is irrelevant, since we will be leaving soon.
His gaze roamed over me, assessing my every move as if he were looking for some sign that I was about to drop dead.
Now answer my question. How do you feel?
I glanced up at him and turned to sit on the bed, leaning on his strength more than I would ever admit. Fine, I guess. A little tired, but fine. What? My memories came rushing back.
Let me go.
Never.
I looked down, pulling the tank top I was wearing away from my chest. The puncture wounds and the spiderweb of black veins around them were gone. I was clean and dressed in a dark tank and matching lounge pants, with no sign of the blood I knew had poured out of me. Did you undress me? His mouth set into a hard line, his hands flexing on the curve of my shoulders.
I apologize. Does your chest usually hemorrhage something that looks like tar? Or do you normally seize when shot? You were disgusting, possibly dying, and you were worried if I undressed you.
I don't want you to touch me. I remembered what those hands did, how painful his touch could be, and I wanted them nowhere near me. He recoiled, drawing back as if I had burned him.
Please, do not insult me, Miss Martinez. The desire to touch you is and will always be the farthest thing from my mind or intentions.
He placed his hands on his hips, shaking his head as he regarded me.
One of the female Celestials cleaned you up after assessing your wounds. You were covered in bile and absolutely reeked. Even I am not cruel enough to let you fester in that.
I glanced at the chair and the mess around it. How long have I been out?
2 days, 6 hours, and 30 minutes.
You counted?
Yes. Why is that surprising? Your absence has only extended what I assumed would be a short adventure.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't plan to get shot by an angry witch. I rubbed at my chest and glanced at the trash can sitting close to the edge of the bed. Through the haze of being awake and lost to the world, I remembered someone holding me as my body tried to rid itself of the toxin. Liam said that there had been Celestials helping, but I remembered his voice, his scent, and the feel of his arms. Maybe that was just a fever dream. She poisoned me. No, they did. Sophie and Nim poisoned me. The bed next to me sank, and I looked at Liam as he sat.
That I deduced. I do not understand why the man you shared your bed with, your maker, would make you so violently ill just to force you to return to him.
Let's just say shared is a loose term, and honestly, I don't know why Caden is so set on getting me back. Sophie said she didn't know how much poison she would need to take me down. So maybe they just meant to incapacitate me and overdid it.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Sophie? He met my gaze, his face flat, but his eyes burning with remembered rage.
Which part?
A memory flashed through my mind. I saw Sophie's decapitated head roll toward me, her hollow eyes staring. Liam had done that. and Nim?
Detained, but breathing.
One last thing, since we will be stuck with each other for a while. I reached behind me, picked up a pillow, and whipped it at him. You can't feed me your blood, you idiot! I picked up another pillow, aiming for his head. He swiped it away and glared at me. I don't just consume the blood, I ingest memories with it. He cocked his head to the side and tossed my fluffy weapon to the floor.
Memories? That's not possible.
Oh, it's very possible. I held up the last pillow on the bed, ready to attack. And I just got a backstage pass to images and sounds I wish to cut out of my brain.
If that's the case, you should have had these dreams prior. Since the blood deal, my blood is in your system, as yours is in mine.
I slowly lowered my feather-filled weapon as I thought about it. Well, I guess it wasn't a large enough quantity. I don't know. I didn't make myself like this, and I haven't really slept since we made the pact. Just that nap on the convoy.
Yet here you are, critiquing my sleep schedule.
Not the point.
Correct, that's not the point. What did you see with this power of yours?
My chest clenched as I recalled Liam's and Unir's private conversation, and I felt the color drain from my face as the images of him and Imogen played back through my mind. I don't know why the memory of their screams and moans made my stomach flutter. It couldn't be embarrassment. I had done so much worse. Or better, depending on how you looked at it. The logical part of my brain tried to convince me it was because I didn't see him that way. Liam was a legend, our version of the boogeyman, and he'd tortured me. Granted, I had tried to kill him and played a part in the death of one of his own. He was the World Ender, and that name and title rang true from what his father had said. But to me, he was Liam. Uptight, arrogant, and opinionated. Who is Imogen? Liam looked surprised for the first time since I'd met him.
How do you know that name?
I blamed the beast that resided in me for taking over and forcing the words out like vomit. Is she an ex-girlfriend? Is she dead? Is that why you're so miserable and mean?
Do you ever try to temper your vocabulary when you speak to me? You are so crass at times.
Not really. But you didn't answer the question. Did you love her? If she had died, that could explain why he acted so cold. Losing your family and the one you loved the most could mess up even the strongest of us. His jaw clenched before he raised his hand to his temple, rubbing it for a second. I had seen him do that several times, but had said nothing. That was a question for another time.
Not that that is any of your business. But Imogen is not dead. I did not love her, nor is she my... anything you previously stated.
Oh, Liam, I didn't know you were a player. But it makes complete sense. Given your title, I'm sure you could have anyone you wanted. Goddess or not. Good for you.
Miss Martinez, please, focus.
Right, anyway, so I saw you and your girlfriend, not girlfriend, naked. I was also in another world. The building I was in wasn't like anything I have ever seen, and that was before I was in your room. The ceiling was missing, and I could see so many planets and stars. It was...
Rashiram.
He said the word as one would say a dead relative's name. I watched the color drain from his face, his massive body seeming to crumple in on itself. He seemed so sad. It was at that moment that I figured it out. Why Liam was the way he was, and why he didn't care about his looks. I knew why he was so abrasive and so closed off to everyone, even those he claimed were his friends. He was consumed with grief and overwhelmed with pain. Liam was mourning.
Do you always get such vibrant renditions of one's past?
I looked down, messing with a piece of the comforter. If they're strong enough. I had assumed all of yours would be boring. No offense. His scowl returned, replacing the haunted sadness in his gaze. I would take it. I much preferred the angry, disappointed in me Liam over the hurt one. Thanks to my stupid mortal heart, Liam hurting made me feel things I would rather avoid.
It is fascinating. Could this give us insight into where Caden is hiding? I assume the two of you shared the same blood, correct?
Actually, no. He never let me. He always talked about how his memories would damage my mortal brain.
Or he was hiding things from you.
I nodded, knowing it was probably the latter, especially given how Caden had lied to me. Or that.
Is this power transmittable?
Excuse me? Like a disease? He stared at my non-deadly weapon and placed his hand on the pillow, forcing me to lower it.
In essence, yes. You and I have shared blood, and I need to know if this is something I might experience.
My ears burned hot as I flushed, thinking of the things Liam might witness if he saw my past. I actually don't know. I hope not. But I've never shared my blood with anyone.
So, it's possible. How long does this power last? The dreams?
Not long, usually. A day or so with mortals, but you're different. So that, I don't know either.
From my studies, Igmoruthan powers and skills range based on species and type. Since you and your brethren seem to be a type not classified within any text Vincent has, is there anything else I should know about your gifts?
I studied him for a moment, weighing my options and deciding if I should tell him the truth or leave him wondering. I'm sure if you dream, you'll see all my gifts. But no, you've seen all I can do. You've seen me shift, and you've seen the fire I wield. And now you know about my blood dreams.
Blood dreams? Please let me know if you have any more of these visions, yes?
I gave him a mock salute. Sure thing, boss. I'll be sure to let you know if I have any more vivid sex dreams about you and Imogen before Logan interrupts. His eyes narrowed on me as if he knew exactly which day I had seen. I would be lying if I said it wasn't intimidating, especially after seeing how he had stood up to his father without flinching.
That was not the only incident that occurred that day. What else did you see or hear, Miss Martinez?
I heard the catch in his voice and knew he was concerned I'd seen too much. That got my attention. I saw your father, Unir. He is a lot taller than you, which is saying something. I could feel the power in that memory of yours, but I couldn't understand the language. Then I woke up. It was a lie, but I felt their conversation was too personal to repeat, regardless of me seeing and hearing it. Even if it was an unfamiliar language, I was in his head, so I understood what was said. Why? Is there something you don't want me to see? He stood in one fluid motion, his speed reminding me that even though he felt some mortal emotions, like sadness and grief, he was far from mortal.
I think it's time for us to leave.
So he did have secrets. Color me surprised. Where are we? And don't ignore that question again.
A hotel on the outskirts of Adenel.
Everything clicked. An overwhelming dread filled me as I scooted off the bed in a hurry. What? I told you nothing fancy, Liam! Under the radar! I looked around the room. It was a decent size, even for a hotel. I needed to find my shoes and we needed to get out of here fast. Why is it so hard for you to listen?
Excuse me. I did not do this out of leisure. You were unconscious, and I had no idea how their spells worked or what to do. I wasn't sure if feeding you was the right thing. I needed information, and I couldn't get it from these off-the-radar places you recommend.
I dropped to the floor, looking underneath the bed for the heels I had been wearing. Not finding them, I stood and glared at him. Yeah, but how did we get here? You can't drive, so that means you called someone, which means it could be traced. If Caden or his lackeys went to Sophie's house looking for me, they'd probably know where we are.
You know nothing of me or what I can and cannot do. Your lack of trust in my abilities is insulting. I am a king, remember? I can do and get anything I wish.
Oh, trust me, I haven't forgotten, you spoiled brat. He made a sound of disapproval, letting me know he'd heard what I said, but he didn't comment further.
I phoned Vincent after what transpired. This is one of many Celestial-owned establishments. I will always be provided for if I ask.
Just like that, the empathy I felt for him evaporated. He was such a spoiled asshole. I wanted to comment on how I had seen firsthand how well he was taken care of, but I managed to restrain myself.
I had Sophie's house secured and brought you here. This was the closest place where you could rest, and I could stay by your side to ensure you didn't die.
Liam had just confirmed what I had already deduced from the papers and mess around that chair. He had stayed with me.
Besides, I cannot lose you.
Aw, that's so sweet. I half-joked. I knew he didn't mean it in a sweet way, but irritating Liam was my new favorite pastime.
Your death would be a great inconvenience, given the mission we must complete. So, with that said, you will not be out of my sight again. That means you do not command me or tell me what to do.
I rolled my eyes as I continued to search the room for my shoes. There he is. I thought I'd lost the terrifying man god for a second there. He glared at me before pinching the bridge of his nose.
If you die, I have no other world leads on this ridiculous notion that Azrael left behind a book. You are my best chance of predicting and stopping the attacks.
I nodded as I gave up my attempt to find my shoes. I would just have to go barefoot until I could get another pair. Such a gentleman. I see why women fall at your feet.
Oh, must you make quips every second you breathe?
Why? Do they bother you?
You are absolutely tormenting. You realize that, correct?
I love it when you flirt with me. I winked, causing a vein to pop forward on his forehead. If he could have killed me on the spot, I knew he would have. Fine, that's fair.
So we agree then. You will not abandon me while you go and talk to any of your so-called friends or informants.
I strode toward him, and he subtly shifted his weight, preparing for an attack. I stopped a few inches from him and held out my pinky. His gaze dropped to my hand, looking at it as if I'd offered him a dead animal. I pinky promise that I will never abandon you, Your Highness. His gaze flicked to mine, some emotion I didn't recognize flaring behind his gray eyes. I grabbed his hand, forcing him to pinky swear as he looked from our joined hands and back at me.
I do not understand this.
It's something fun Gabby and I did when we were younger. It stuck through the years. Back after our parents died, I had to steal for a while to survive. This was one of the many things we came up with to make sure I came back. You can't break a pinky promise. It's like the law, but not your boring laws.
You stole.
Not everyone is born with a silver spoon in their mouth, Your Majesty.
Very well, pinky promise.
It was so strange to hear the words leave his lips that I actually smiled. That seemed to unnerve him more than my annoying quips, his eyes widening just a fraction. I dropped my smile in my hand. I should have known Sophie wouldn't be reliable. He put his hands in his pockets.
Do all your friends shoot you in the chest?
I know this may surprise you, but I don't have a lot of people that care about me. My sister, sure, but friends? All my friends are through Caden, and that means there are very few whose loyalty lies with me. I curled a strand of hair behind my ear. I waited for him to agree, to say something rude or mean, but for once, he didn't. A somber look crossed his face. Did he feel pity for me? Whatever it was, the emotion was gone as quickly as it came.
With that in mind, we will need a new plan. Your friends are unreliable and dangerous. Unless you have some other informants that could be of assistance and won't attempt to return you to Caden, I think we need to return to the Guild in Bol.
I bit my lower lip, my chest aching with uncertainty. There was someone, but I wasn't sure I wanted to bring him into this. I had made him a promise, but we were in an end-of-the-world type of dire situation. I had given him and his family a way out, a chance to escape. If I went to him, I would be dragging them right back into my mess with Caden. I would be putting a target on his back. I may have another plan, but you'll have to make another promise.
Ah, will I now?
This man is supposed to be dead, and his location has to remain a secret.
I do not understand.
I wanted my ruse to last longer. I didn't want him to get even a glimpse of the real me, and I didn't want to bring down anyone else with me. Promise me that if I take you there, if I show you my world, you won't act as the almighty law enforcer.
Miss Martinez, I don't know if I can make that.
I grabbed his hands and clasped them in mine. I didn't realize how much bigger his hands were compared to mine until I held them. Rough calluses marked his wide palms, and I knew he had earned them through battles long fought. I looked up, trying to will as much pleading in my gaze as I could. I rarely begged for anything, but I would do whatever it took to keep my friend safe. Please, this isn't me commanding you, I swear. This is me begging. These are my actual friends, and they hate Caden just as much as you.
If innocents are hurt,
they won't be. Trust me. And if they are, then by all means, enforce the law all the way. He was silent for so long that I was afraid he wouldn't agree.
Very well. Then I promise.
He looked down at where I still held his hands.
Does this require another pinky?
No, it doesn't. I dropped his hands and turned, heading to the bathroom to take a shower.
Wait, where are we going?
Zeral. There is a vampire prince I was supposed to kill that I didn't. Liam shifted in the passenger seat.
Ugh, another stop.
Granted, I saw his point. We'd had to get gas several times, and I was hungry again. Since I was trying my best not to eat people, snacks it was. Yes, another stop. Don't you want to get out and stretch your legs? We have been trapped in this car for hours now.
No, what I would like is for us not to drive everywhere when faster forms of transportation are available.
And I have told you at least 17 times why we can't.
Yes, yes, you and this obsessive radar.
I rolled my eyes. Besides, I have to pee and I'm hungry. He gave me an exasperated look.
But you just ate a few hours ago.
You know, normal people eat more than once a day.
You are not a normal person. Or a person, for that matter.
Gods, it's a surprise you have any friends at all.
Says the one whose friends repeatedly try to kill her.
Someone is cranky. When was the last time you actually ate? He avoided eye contact and stared toward the small convenience store.
Just hurry up.
I turned fully in my seat, placing my arm on the steering wheel. Liam, when was the last time you ate? I knew he hadn't eaten yesterday or the day before, since I had gotten food and ended up eating it all. It just now occurred to me that I hadn't seen him eat or sleep. Although what I had been doing could barely be considered sleep. Images of Rashiram and Liam's past still plagued my dreams. Luckily, they consisted more of battles and less of the orgies. The air in the vehicle felt condensed, as if his agitation had physical weight. The locks on the door popped up, and my door opened. I jumped slightly and looked behind me. Had he done that? Of course he had. My mind flashed back to the attack on Ariel when I tried to escape. I'd felt an invisible force, like a large hand had wrapped around my tail and yanked me back.
5 minutes.
I cannot pee in 5 minutes. I would have to run through the store. He didn't say anything, only raised a brow as if challenging me. Ugh, give me 10 minutes.
8.
Liam. He looked at me as if I had asked him the most idiotic question, when all I'd done was say his name.
Did you assume I was? What's the word?
He paused, looking away for a second as he searched for the word he wanted.
Joking, when I said I did not want you out of my sight.
Fine.
You have 7 minutes now, since you want to argue.
I narrowed my eyes at him. If I could have choked the life out of him, I would have. I didn't bother arguing. There was no point. Liam would only count down more, and I didn't want to risk him following me inside. I shook my head and glared at him a moment longer before jumping out of the car. I closed the door a little too hard, but he was a complete ass, and his high and mighty routine was wearing on my nerves. It was a power trip, and I was so sick of dealing with men and their egos.